KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies, 10 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 22. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa news, the Creston Police Department this morning released a report on arrests made over the past week. Officials say two people were arrested Sunday, including 32-year-old John Jacob Garcia of Creston, who was taken into custody at his home for being a felon in possession of a firearm. Garcia was being held in the Union County Jail on $5,000 bond. And 21-year-old Michael Dylan Johnson of Grand River was arrested Sunday at the Creston Walmart on a charge of theft in the fifth degree. He was subsequently released after promising to appear later in court. Last Wednesday, Creston police arrested 42-year-old Clinton Ward Lovely of Creston on a warrant out of Union County for criminal mischief in the second degree and child endangerment. Lovely was taken into custody at the Union County Law Enforcement Center and later released on $5,000 bond. That same day, 37-year-old Gerald Lynn Lawrence Jr. of Des Moines was arrested at the Union County Jail on a warrant charging him with a probation violation. Lawrence Jr. was being held in the jail on $10,000 bond. Police in Creston investigated two reported incidents of theft on Thanksgiving Day. A resident in the 600 block of North Maple Street reported the theft of a Rolex watch, miscellaneous jewelry, a black purse with rhinestones and chains, a driver's license, credit, debit, and social security cards. The theft occurred sometime between 10 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on the 27th. That same day, a resident on West Adams Street in Creston reported someone entered his residence sometime between 2 p.m. November 26th and 3 a.m. November 27th. They stole a 57 Xbox One and Xbox 360 games, a 32-inch Sanyo TV, Xbox 360, and an Xbox One. The loss was estimated at $1,500. Both incidents remain under investigation. A monthly economic survey index for 9 Midwestern and Plains states has dipped again. A survey report issued this morning says the overall Mid-America Business Conditions Index, or BCI, fell in November to 51.3 from 51.8 in October. September's figure was 54.3. After rising in June to its highest level in more than 3 years, the overall reading has hovered in a range pointing to much slower growth for the overall regional economy over the next 3 to 6 months. The survey results from supply managers are compiled into a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Any score above 50 suggests economic growth, while a score below that suggests a decline. Residents of Avoca, Hancock, Shelby, and Tenet will be asked to vote tomorrow on approving an expanded tax to support facility repairs, technology, and transportation spending for the AHSD Community School District. A special election will be held on the Physical Plant and Equipment Levy, or PEPL, authorization for up to $1 of every $1,000 in taxable valuation. The new levy would go toward three goals: updating the district's transportation fleet by purchasing a new bus each year, repairing roofs, playgrounds, and sidewalks, and maintaining the district's one-to-one laptop computer initiative for students in 1st through 12th grades. By supporting the goals, school officials say the PEPL would also free up money to renovate schools, such as expanding the high school to remove portable classrooms. AHSD currently levies a board-approved 33-cent PEPL, which generates roughly $100,000 each year. Combined with a proposed voted PEPL, the district would take in as much as $400,000 annually. The new tax would generate a total of about $3 million over the 10 years that voters would authorize the levy. Voters in Walnut approved an expanded PEPL in 2010 for the maximum of $1.34 per $1,000 of taxable valuation, according to the Iowa Department of Education. If the reorganization with AHSD eventually takes place, Iowa code says the reorganized district would have a PEPL for the least amount and the shortest time for which it is in effect in any of the districts. Two communities in Southwest Iowa are asking residents whether it's okay to merge their school districts in response to dwindling student enrollment. A special election will be held tomorrow to decide whether to merge the school districts in Hamburg and Farragut in Fremont County. If approved, the communities would work as the Nishnabotna Community School District. It would combine all the debts, buildings, assets, and liabilities of the two current school districts. The proposed school district would have a combined enrollment of more than 300 students, and that would help officials organize more efficient spending per student. Children in Iowa schools and across the country are encouraged to make good choices in the lunch line. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is making nearly $6 million available in team nutrition grants. Economist David Just says the money will go to agencies in Iowa and other states that fall within the National School Lunch Program, and many will use the money to implement a project called Smarter Lunchrooms.
It's a lunchroom that uses behavioral science to help children to both choose and eat fruits and vegetables and other healthier options.
Small, simple changes or alterations in presentation techniques are showing big results in the school lunchrooms.
Taking fruit out of the stainless steel bins and placing them in an attractive bowl near the cash register can increase fruit consumption by 102%.
Just reveals some other basic tricks that work.
Placing white milk in front of the chocolate milk can increase white milk sales by as much as 26%.
The USDA is funding more than 2,000 Smarter Lunchroom kits that will be distributed to school districts nationwide, which provide information on how to help kids eat healthier. Iowa has 351 school districts and more than 473,000 students. Well, this fall, Iowa became the first state in the country to create a public-private partnership to recruit adults who will agree to be mentors and encourage young women to enter the so-called STEM fields of science, technology, engineering, and math.
So, go Iowa, right?
That's Edie Frazier, CEO of a national organization called STEM Connector. The group is leading an effort to line up 1 million mentors in the U.S. who will push women to consider STEM courses and careers.
Yes, this is a national movement. It's an international movement. We're probably going to have two countries on board by the end of the year. We have 25 states who have already signed up, but Iowa is the first to announce this type of infrastructure.
Iowa's business community, along with state officials, unveiled a website in late September to coordinate the mentoring project, and Iowa is more than a third of the way to its goal of lining up 5,000 adult mentors. During the week of March 23rd, every state, including Iowa, will hold events to salute the adults who've stepped forward to serve as mentors to female students in junior high, high school, and college.
We've got now 56 national women's and girls organizations representing 26 million girls who want mentors.
Frazier says volunteers are being asked to provide mentoring for just 20 hours over the course of a year.
There are five pathways that we've got within these 20 hours, five pathways, and they also include internships, and they include all sorts of things you can do.
Face-to-face chats are the initial suggestion. Some mentors may ultimately help the student find financial support for their college expenses. Frazier says men in STEM fields are 42 times more likely to have an adult sponsor than are women studying science, technology, engineering, or math. Women who end up getting a job in the STEM-related field earn 33% more than females in non-STEM jobs. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.